Well, August in the cabin of Crapper Creek. Ah, try our fine selection of wines. Like our fireweed wine. Or our beetle wine. It's made of fresh spruce beetles. That's how you know it's good. It's another week of fun. This week in the cabin, we're going to ask, are you an Alaskan? We'll find out. If you are, you know. If you're not, this is what you got to do. We're going to talk about nerd news. I've got odd mashups that we really want to see. Lying to people with secrets. Questions before becoming a lifeguard. And we visit America Land this week on the podcast.
Live from Crapper Creek, Alaska, the podcast.
Music from the Offspring 95.9 radio. Good to have you just hanging with us Tuesday morning. Final week of June. And let me ask you something. If you had a secret and you needed to tell somebody, who would you confide in? All right, hold on. That's kind of a silly statement, because if you have a secret and then you tell someone, even one person, it's no longer a secret, right? A secret is something nobody knows. You can't have a secret and only a few people know about it. That's not a secret, right? So whatever. Other than your dog, I guess that doesn't count. Or the creepy old doll in your attic. I don't know. But in a new poll, 32% of people say their spouses or partners probably know the largest number of their secrets. Well, yeah. I don't know if I keep anything from Maria. We have joint accounts. We borrow each other's phones without, you know, oh, hold on. Let me make sure this isn't, that's all right. Huh. Now, when broken down by gender, men, well, we're more likely to confide in a partner or a parent, while women are more likely to share secrets with a best friend or a sibling. Women are also slightly more likely to confide in a child. I mean, one of their children, I assume. I don't think you just walk up to a strange child. The breakdown is similar when asked who you are most likely to talk to first when you have a personal problem. When asked who knows the best, 41% said their partner. Yeah. Again, men were more likely to say that. So it depends on what it is you're telling them, I guess. But is it weird when one of your friends tells you, says, sometimes I don't like, because I don't want the responsibility of keeping a secret from somebody. I don't like secrets at all. Oh, can I tell you something? Okay. Do I have to keep it a secret? Because, you know, once you tell me, that means it's not a secret. And if you told me, that means I can tell somebody else. And then there's always those lies we say to somebody when they share their deepest secret with you. Oh, I won't tell a soul. Uh-huh. Even though you just did. Oh, no. You're not a freak at all. I'll never throw this back in your face the next time we argue. No. Where's another good lie you'll tell him? Oh, no, there's nothing weird about that. Just an obsession with doll heads? Nah, not weird. I would have done the same thing in your situation. That's another one we say. This won't change how I look at you whatsoever. Relax, nobody will find out. Says anybody who's ever told somebody a secret. Well, you did the right thing by getting this off your chest. Uh-huh. Fine, here's another secret you may have told. What? No, me? I'm not wearing a wire. Just me on that one? Digging this Alaska summer. It's not been a very Alaskan summer lately, right? It's been pretty warm. Like a California summer. That's all right. You know it's going to change here in Alaska, where we have 12 seasons. No two are really all that alike. No 2 months, right? But we know that because we're Alaskans. Other ways to know that you are indeed living in Alaska. For instance, let's say you're in Home Depot. Somebody offers you assistance and they don't work there. You might live in Alaska. Let me ask you this. Have you ever worn shorts and a parka at the same time? Yeah, you probably live in Alaska. Oh, here's a good one. Have you ever had a lengthy telephone conversation with somebody who accidentally dialed the wrong number? That's a sign you live in Alaska. And if you measure distance in hours, oh yeah, that's an Alaska thing right there. How far? It's about a 2-hour drive. About a 3, because they are. Down the States, they don't say that because I know in L.A. that 2-hour drive could turn into a 4-hour drive real quick. Now, if you've not one, but several people who have hit a moose more than once. Oh, yeah, you live in Alaska. Let's say there's 2 feet of snow and a raging snowstorm and blizzard. You're going 75 miles an hour and you don't even flinch. You live in Alaska. Let me guess. You've installed security lights and cameras on your house and garage, but you leave both unlocked anyway. Yeah, you live in Alaska. You not only carry jumper cables in your car, but your wife, your daughter, everybody knows how to use them. You live here. Or if you've had to design your kid's Halloween costume to fit over a snowsuit. Total Alaska thing. Do you like driving in the winter better because the potholes are filled? That's total Alaska. And do you find like minus 20 below zero, maybe a little chilly? Oh, that's a sign. You're an Alaskan. Did you melt this last week into a pile of goo? Truly Alaskan. Still nice weather. The heat wave we had last week, that's kind of come and gone. But man, it was like 90. That was crazy. Now, I felt 90 here before, but it just was a different kind of hot there for a while. Sadly, see, ours come and go, whereas like people in Arizona, it's like that for 4 months, but 15 degrees hotter. Imagine that. Sucky, right? We mentioned last time they were looking at all these people, searches for everything from heat stroke to air conditioning to heat exhaustion. Google searches for those were way up last week during the heat wave. Same thing here. So there's some other search questions we were Googling during the heat wave. For instance, exactly what temperature is it legal to walk around without wearing pants? Is it unsanitary to sleep in the freezer? If I witness a real housewife melt, am I allowed to keep her jewelry? How do I officially change my address to Satan's butthole? Can I boil alive in my swimming pool? If heatstroke makes you irrational, how will we know if Kanye has it? Is it still considered prostitution to offer sex for an ice cube? Does melted flesh go in the regular bin or the green bin? How much are flights to the actual North Pole? And finally, why does God hate us? Good question.
From the farthest north rock station in the world, it's the Crapper Creek Podcast.
Well, it's the educational part of the show where we like to talk science. Bam! I think it's probably time to hit you right over the head with a little nerd news. What do you say? Let's do it. This week in your nerd news, we talk earthquakes, staying hungry, and live music. Everyone loves a live show, maybe even babies. A study at the University of Toronto found infants' heart rates sync up with live music, and they find it more exciting than watching a live show on TV. Ever been to a store and realized you forgot your wallet? Well, you won't need it at Whole Foods soon. They've been testing a gadget that lets you pay by scanning your palm. Now they're rolling it out at all their stores by the end of this year. What is it? Like, do we got to get a tattoo? Oh, great. A study pinpointed the sunniest place in the world. No, it's not Phoenix. It's a plateau in Chile. Gets blasted by more sun rays than any spot on Earth. Basically, you'd get sunburned faster there than anywhere else, so don't go there. Bam! In other Earth news, scientists may have finally figured out a way to predict earthquakes. GPS data shows there's a tiny slip in the tectonic plates about 2 hours prior to an earthquake happening. But we'll need sensors that are about 100 times better than the ones we currently have, so there's that. Bam! The next time you feel hungry, maybe sit with that feeling for a minute. Study at the University of Michigan found out our bodies might age more slowly when we're hungry. Okay. Google is testing a new AI that can write breaking news stories and headlines. It could upend journalism and put a lot of writers out of work. Come on, writers. What? So AI is going to start generating fake news for us now? Excellent. Oh, by the way, in space news, an asteroid as big as a 20-story building got closer to us than the moon last week. Nobody realized until 2 days later, so that's great. And finally, NASA is almost ready to launch a mission to a very valuable asteroid this fall. It's full of iron, nickel, and gold. It could be worth an estimated $10 quintillion. How do we get it here? Or do we just hope it doesn't get here? I don't know. Bam! That is your nerd news. Let me ask you a question. How gross are you? I mean, maybe not right now, but just in general. We all do gross things, and we may think we're really weird for doing them. But some of them are quite common. So let's take a look. You think you're more or less gross than the average person? Somebody polled a bunch of people online about popular different gross habits. Here's the 5 questions and how people answer. Do you pick your wedges, so to speak, in public? Or do you suffer through it until you can find a bathroom? 74% of us are pickers. Most did it. They say they at least tried to be discreet. Bonus points if you sniff your finger when you're done. Don't. What? Number 2. Do you take phone calls on the toilet? You know you do. 62% of us say yes, including 13 who say they do it all the time. I think everybody has. Try not to make it, especially because it's kind of has that sound, right? The echoey bathroom sound. It's like when you talk to somebody on the phone, you can tell if they're in their car or if they're outside. Same with the bathroom. It's like you're in the conversation about halfway through. You go, wait, dude, are you on the can right now? Are you talking to me with your pants around your ankles right now? And then the call gets awkward. Oh, here's one. Do you find pimple popping videos satisfying? Oh my God. Half do, including 18% who love them. I can't watch any of them. That's in no way Dr. Pimple Popper. I just can't. How many times do you wear clothes before washing them? Only 46% generally wear clothes once, then wash them. 39 say multiple times. Others say they wait until they're visibly dirty or smell. Now, it depends on what you mean by clothes. Socks, underwear, yes, every single time. Yes, yes, and double yes. A t-shirt? I always judge it. Did I wear it all day? Was I out sweating in it? Is it something I just put on for going out to dinner one evening for 2 hours and came home? Well, I'll probably wear that again. Pants, if I'm just going to throw them on to work around the house or something, I'll wear a pair of pants twice, I guess, but no. Finally, have you ever pooped your pants? Half said no. They're lying. Not just when they were baby. 36% said yes. Everybody's had it. Come on, who hasn't had the shart? 13% says it's happened multiple times, and 2% say too many times to count. Wow. That's a whole different issue there. My dad always told me once you get older, never pass up a bathroom, never trust a fart. That's why, right there. Now, during the foodie roundup last week, we talked about the new mashup. Which, you know, it's like, why did they wait so long? Twinkie and Ding Dongs? Are they called Twing Dongs? See, because that's what a mashup does, is you got to take the name. But, you know, we can look outside of food for good mashup ideas. How about Birkin Crocs, right? I mean, two horrible looking shoes that nobody else wears but you. So why don't you just combine the two? It's kind of like a double douche move. Oh, here's a classic. This is a great useful idea. Chia Pet Brillo Pads. Boom. How about a video game? Super Mario Lopez. Jude Law and Order. Axe Body Spray and Wash. Boom. International House of Pan Flutes. Joe Cocker Spaniel. Johnson & Johnson Baby Chowder. Robert Downey Fabric Softener. Makes perfect sense. Bradley Mini Cooper. Jamie Foxx News. Tom Carnival Cruise. See, that could actually be his nickname because he's kind of like a circus act. And finally, with the two big movies, Barbie and then Oppenheimer coming out, duh. Barbieheimer. Might as well combine those. That's where Barbie goes totally nuclear when she catches Ken cheating. I don't know. I'm just coming up with ideas here. So I don't know if you heard, but there's a new theme park opening up in Oklahoma. It's going to be called American Heartland Theme Park and Resort. It's going to have places like Liberty Village and the Great Plains and Bayou Bay, Big Timber Falls, Stony Point Harbor, all these places to kind of celebrate different regions of America. It's kind of a cool idea, right? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to call it. I think they're going to call it, I know they're not going to call it Alaska Land, so you people can get off that bandwagon real quick. But that's what is American Heartland Theme Park and Resort, which is, I don't know. I think I have a better idea with some better attractions for them, though. This summer, it's time to grab the family and grab a sparkler and head to America's favorite new theme park, Merkaland. It's Merkaland. Swing by Kid Rock's Rootin' Tootin' Bud Light Shooting Gallery. Check out the Hall of Shows hosted by Ryan Seacrest. Hosted by Ryan Seacrest. Jason Aldean's Subtly Racist Sing-Along. And in the main courtyard, Walmart presents the Methamphetamine Hall of Fame. Guy Fieri's Cholesterol Emporium is a place to go for a bite to eat. Swing by Journey to Another Reality with Kanye. The kids will have a blast at Little Adventurer White House Cocaine Hunt. The Cosby Cocktail Spinning Carousel. And stay later that night for Tiger Woods' Crash Boom Bang Stunt Spectacular. At Merkaland. And of course, we also have Florida. Only at Merkaland. All right, so I took part in an annual event here in the interior of Alaska called Dark Winter Nights, where people get on stage in front of a packed 2,000 seat arena and tell an interesting story about Alaska. And I was invited to tell one. This story will also be in an upcoming book I'm writing. It'll be out by this winter. I'll tell you about it. But this was a story about me as a young lad and an encounter with a bear in Juneau, Alaska. I was introduced on stage, and the sound quality is obviously me on a stage, so it's a little different. But this is Glenner's bear story. Good way to wrap up this week's podcast.
What are you supposed to do when you encounter a bear? Besides shoot and grab it by the tail. Alaska radio legend Glenner Anderson found himself in that situation when he was a kid and discovered that the bears don't always know what to do either. Please welcome Glenner telling a story we call Nothing to Fear But Fear Itself.
You know, growing up and being born and raised here, it's always fun to visit other parts of Alaska. It's the summer of 1975. I was 12 years old. My sister, Linda, who is about 12 years older than I am, had moved and lived in Juneau, working there as a page for my grandfather, Turi, when he was in the legislature. She graduated, Lathrop here in 69, and went to Juneau and really never left. Made a home and started a business there, actually. A business that is quite common today, but very, very different by 1970s standards. She opened a little coffee shop on the docks in Juneau called Quaff's, if some of you had been there before. But it was interesting. She sold a variety of coffees, coffee drinks, teas, ice cream. This is 20 years before Starbucks, you know, was a gleam in its dad's eye. And it was very successful. So I decided, and she invited me, to come down and stay with her for the summer in Juneau. And I was very excited, and I did. At the time, her and her then husband, Sid, had rented a home out near Auk Bay.
Which is 15 miles out of town, out of the city of Juneau. They call it the Valley, another name for it. Beautiful area. And rented a house way up on a cliff looking over the ocean. Just a beautiful home. And right there along next to Auk Bay. If you know of Auk Bay, Auk Bay is it's about a stretch, maybe a mile, a couple miles long, if I remember correctly. Gravel beaches with about seven or eight little streams that would come in on their way to the ocean. And around each one of these streams was a little picnic area. It was beautiful. And I would stay there and I would play with the neighborhood kids. And we did what neighborhood kids did. We made bow and arrows and we made spears and we played games. We had bikes. Thank God it was before video games. Because it gave us something to do outside. That's what we all did as kids in Alaska. We were outside, right? We built forts. You know, we didn't watch them on TV. We built forts. We had everything. So that was our world. We had spears. We had arrows. We knew all the trails around Auk Bay, Alaska. And I had a bicycle. Well, about midsummer, my parents decided to come visit us. And we decided to have a picnic out along Auk Bay. So that's a great idea. So growing up in Alaska, I had the experience of being with my father, who taught me how to hunt, how to fish, how to build snow caves. He was he raced motocross, my old man. He raced in the riverboats in the Yukon 800 and the 500 and all those back in the day. He worked for DOT. In fact, my father says to this day, he invented North Pole, Alaska. Very smart man. So I was very excited he was going to come visit us. I hadn't seen him in a while, and I love my dad. But he did kind of invent North Pole, Alaska, if I may veer off just a second. My dad worked for DOT. And at the time, back in the day, you wanted to build a road, you'd say, hey, let's go build a road. There was a lot of environmental impact studies being done at the time. At the time, he was on the crew building Badger Road. So they built Badger Road from the north end, or from the north end south. And they got done ahead of time. They were done there around Nordale Road, around that end. And they had plenty of time. They were ahead of schedule. They were sitting around the fire drinking beer and they decided, what the hell, let's punch Badger Road all the way back through to the Rich Highway. That's about a mile and a half, 2 miles. Okay, let's do it. So they did, and they punched it back through. Then they made a clearing on the other side of the Richardson Highway to put their rigs and do their stuff and everything, so they come back out. About a year and a half later, somebody built a gas station there. Now there's three roundabouts they're still trying to figure out how to use in North Pole. So in a sense, I guess my old man built and invented North Pole, Alaska. He also worked on a number of the highways, the Parks Highway. I remember growing up, camping down there with him when he'd build the Parks Highway. That was always a lot of fun, too. We'd go there in the winter and snow machine around Hurricane Gulch and stay in ATCO units while they built the road. He worked on the haul road as well. And for years, boy, he would, once that Ice Road Truckers show come on, he would laugh. So really? That's not that dangerous of a road. I built that damn road. I have to hear about it every time the show comes on. Certain things my old man knew would upset him as he got older. Didn't like guys with beards. Oh, I guess that's a real Alaskan, he would say. Didn't like inboard motors. What, you can't handle an outboard up a river? Didn't like broccoli. Didn't like the tropics. You didn't dare mention him unless you wanted a 7-8 minute tirade. I was still very excited that he was going to come and visit us. So that summer, we was all excited. The folks came, went to the store, got all the trimmings for all the, have a picnic. We're going to go down to Auk Bay, down in one of the little picnic areas. Now, we could have chosen the one right by the house. That would have been nice and easy. No, let's go down to the one at the other end. Okay. I was out riding my bikes with friends. They told me what time to be there. Parked my bike up by the first little camp area. It was actually closest to the house, just a trail up through the woods, and I could park my bike. I left it by the road, walked down the trail. I started heading down the trail to where the family picnic was going to be, a little barbecue. It was about a quarter mile, half mile down, and I had to pass over several of those little 10-foot wooden walking bridges across each stream by each campsite, a little picnic-covered area, much like along the Chena Wayside. Went down to the inn, had a great barbecue. Sat out by the ocean, did some fishing, had some fun. It was entertaining. And it was dry, which was rare. It was one of those rare summers in Juneau that the sun shined, and I had heard legend there was mountains with tops on them that I'd never actually seen. I didn't know, for all I'd known, Juneau was in a big, vast prairie area, because I'd never seen the mountains. And it rains all the time there. And this particular summer, it was gorgeous. 70 degrees. If you've ever been to Juneau, the water, the place, there's no place prettier on the planet when it's sunny than Juneau, Alaska. So for like 3 days a year, this place is spectacular. These were three of those days. It was beautiful. I was on my bike, didn't have the rain gear on. I decided to leave the bike at the first one and just walk down the beach, through the trails, by all the camps. I'd go down to the beach and I'd come back up, hang out. We had our meal. It was all fun. They asked, Mom and Dad asked me, do you want to get a ride back? I said, no, I'll walk down. My bike's at the end. I'll go to get my bike. I was 12. I was like Mr. Independent. So they packed up all the gear and walked up to the road, got in the car and headed back to the house. I decided to walk and I walked down the trail. So I'm walking, whistling my tune, heading over the little bridges. They're about 10 feet long, each one. I get a couple campsites from the end, near the house, where my bike was, up by the road. Start to see a couple trash cans knocked over. Kids, you know. Kids. Being the Alaskan, I didn't smell danger. So pass another one. More mayhem. This time, a couple of trash cans are kind of squished. So these kids are like, these are not the kids I want to hang out with this summer. I don't know, many of you know me, but I was a good kid growing up. So I didn't want any trouble. So I started thinking what I was going to say when I saw these kids. Hey, wow, cool, man. You guys are far out. 75. I had the bell bottoms, feathered Sean Cassidy hair. I wasn't sure if I was going to mingle with them or if I just shunned them like my mom would want me to do. So I had this story all built up in my head until I met him. Got to the end. It wasn't a bunch of teenagers. It was a bear, which I stumbled right upon. I see the trash laying around. I look across the campsite. There's a bear, black bear, pretty good sized one. Wasn't a full male, but at a 12-year-old boy, he was big enough. So I just stared at him for a second, because now my whole story in my head, it's like, I had to switch from what mom told me about bad guys to what dad told me about bears. Now, growing up, we used to do a lot of hunting out. We got a cabin on Healy Lake, and we fly out. My dad's also a bush pilot, small plane pilot, so. We'd had bears come by the cabin. So I kind of dealt with them before, but it was always, there was guns. I always felt safe because I had dad with me and dogs and guns. We grew up with lots of guns. Even my mother was a champion, very good skeet shooter and trap shooter. She had her own reloader and she could shoot like nothing, but I didn't have her there either. So my whole, teen kid shun thing isn't going to work. I just remember seeing bears at the cabin. And usually bears they're more curious than ever. That's what they always tell you. Bears are curious. They're more afraid of you than you are of them. I remember that one. Tried to keep that one in my head. And I really should have. I had bears breaking into cabins. No, one time we had a bear just puncture the toilet paper roll on our outhouse. He was so careful that he didn't even take it off the roll. He destroyed the rest of the cabin. But he was careful enough because we had a two-seater and it had no front out at Healy Lake because there was no other cabins. and had sides on it so they couldn't see it from the cabin, sat up on a hill. Me and my cousin Mark would sit there with 22s with our pants around our ankles doing what we do, shooting ducks with 22s. And then sending the dogs for them from the crapper. So it was very easy for the bear to get to. Literally punctured both without ripping them from their dailies. So I was hoping it was going to be one of those gentle bears. So I'm thinking, what did Dad say? I could do several things. I could do the curl up in a ball thing, but I think that was a little bit premature. I think I should wait till he makes his move. Otherwise, it might look kind of silly. I could do the be bigger than the bear. Be bigger than the bear. At this point, the bear stood up on his hind legs. I wasn't going to be bigger than the bear. Some of the other things they say. Oh, let's see. It's a black bear. Run down a hill. Okay, there's no hill. There's the ocean. I had that in my mind. I could do that. I could go there. But it was a big, pretty good little stint between there and the water. So just back off. Head back the trail. Walk away. Nothing to see here. It's all good. I start walking backwards. The bear is down off his hind legs. Starts prancing, walking towards me, slowly. So I back up a little faster, comes a little more. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just turn around and, you know, like I didn't see the crime. You know, maybe he thinks I'm gonna turn him in for the mayhem or something. It's like, no, man, your secret's good with me, I'm cool. I saw nothing, I saw nothing. I don't even know your name, where you live, nothing. So I start walking up the trail. He's walking up the trail, too. Walk a little faster up the trail. He's walking up the trail a little faster, too. At this point, I decided to do the one thing you never do around a bear. I ran. The tough Alaskan man in me ran, frightened. And all I can remember, those bridges I'd crossed so many times. I was moving so fast. I was the fastest 12-year-old white boy on the planet. I was moving. All I remember is the sound of one shoe hitting each of those bridges. I remember it distinctly. Just, these were like 10-foot bridges. I'm just, thump, thump, thump. I turn around. That bear is not 20 feet behind me. I am sprinting at this point. I can feel it, and I can feel it building. And I'm going, I'm starting to panic at this point. I didn't want to do that. I see the bear, and then I'm running, and I can hear him. But it's the strangest noise I've ever heard from a bear. And I'd been around him a couple times. It was like almost, pretty soon I hear, might look better for this. That's when I see the whites of this bear's eyes. I'll never forget it. They were huge. They had little tiny pupils. But he was running right behind me. He's probably not 10 feet behind me at this point, and he's doing this. That's when I did the second stupidest thing you do around a bear. I pulled to the side, and I stopped. And I turned and I did this. So that's what scares a bear. 12-year-old boy in bell bottoms who looks like Sean Cassidy doing this. I swear to God, that bear's four legs went. And he looked at me and he went, ah! Which was basically doing, what the hell are you stopping for? It's probably still chasing us. This is when I realized the bear wasn't chasing me. He saw me running from something. Survival instinct. He looked at me and went, ah, you can stay here, I'm gone. And he continued up the trail past me. Till all I could hear was, ah! Really, that's my goddamn bear story? So, Somebody would have nicked me on the way by, you know? What happened, bear? No. So I'm pretty shaken. Pretty sure I'd wet myself a little. Walk back down the trail now that I know it's safe. There's no juveniles. There's no bears. I go and I get my bicycle and I head back to the house. I walk in the house. I go, my God, the whole family's there doing whatever. And you'll never believe what just happened. I was just chased by a bear. Well, kind of. It was like a bear and he was like chasing me. He was right behind me. And they start laughing and nobody believed me. And I was so mad. I went outside and I sat by the ocean and I was watching the sun was setting. It was a beautiful night and they lived right on that cliff. And I just sat down and I sat and I cried. I think some of it was just the stress from what had just happened and the fact that my family didn't believe me. And I was so mad. And then I felt a hand on my shoulder. And it was the old man. And he goes, what do you say we head up and look for that bear of yours? I went, thanks, Dad. So, Dad and I headed up the trail, looked, we walked almost all the way. He walked with me, we talked about everything and complained about inboards or whatever. Nothing. We got all the way to our camp area. We headed back. He saw the trash and saw it was obvious something happened there. So these look like they could probably be some tracks. And luckily, we go back to the end and right across the way comes that bear right in front of us. Just looked at us and ran by. Just kept going. It's almost like he was still scared. He just come from the water. He'd been by the beach. He just came and whoop. I go, Dad. I go, I see him. He goes, I see him. And he was, he had that look on his face because Dad always believed me. He was always there. Well, look, we better check it out. He was always the guy that had my back. So we got to go back and thank God for my dad. I got redemption. It's a story I still like to tell to my dad. He's a little older now. He's in the Pioneers home. He's got Alzheimer's. So the guy that was the smartest guy I've ever met in my life is now kind of the mind of a child. And he's always happy, though, now. He's really happy. And I can tell him all these stories. And the best thing that I have now is I get to tell them to him over and over and over again. And he loves it every time. And I can't wait tomorrow to go back over to the Pioneers home and go, hey, Dad. Remember that time that bear chased me in Juneau? And he's going to go, yeah, that was great. And I'll tell it to him again, and I'll probably tell it to him again Wednesday during coffee time. That's my show.
Leonard, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, that was quality entertainment. And I hope you join us again next week. Remember, as always, tell your friends, share this with 5 people. That's all I ask. Share it, like it, love it. Let us know what you think. And we thank you for joining us in Crapper Creek. Check out the podcast, check out online, check out the general store, the YouTube channel, and more. Just Google search live from Crapper Creek, Alaska. Next week on the show, another episode of Confessions. Plus, a foodie roundup, nerd news. Why nobody wants to see you naked. And we talk about our weird social norms and questions before impulse buying. All that's on the podcast. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Live from Crapper Creek, the podcast with Glenner, produced by Mike Cook. For the full morning show, log on to the live stream at xrock959.com. This has been a Glenn Entertainment production.